I'm going to say, and I think I can be safe in saying this, that 90 to 95% of the people in this building this morning are Christians. But that's not really what concerns me. My concern is, are you a good Christian? I can change a light bulb, but that does not make me an electrician. I can do something so simplistic, but that does not guarantee that I am a master of anything. And I understand this morning that most of us have obeyed the plan of salvation, that we were relieved of the burden of our sins, and we were added to the church. But did you really become a Christian? We can get people wet every day. But that doesn't mean that they're Christians. And I want you to think about this, brethren. This is serious business. This is really a matter of whether or not you're going to go to heaven. Did your Christianity change you as a person, as a husband, as a wife, as a mother, as a father? Did it affect your marriage? And do you appreciate how often other people are making judgments about your Christianity by your example? You understand that? You understand that? I look at you, brethren, here in this congregation, and I see good and bad. I see brethren that don't always live up to their responsibility. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to pretend that everything is rosy when it's not always rosy. I'm sorry. Now, if you expect me to do that, you better get somebody else, because I'm not going to do it. And I love this congregation. I love you, brethren. But that does not mean that everybody in this congregation is a good Christian. I'm sorry. It does not mean that. Some people never go the last mile of the way to be the kind of a child of God that the Lord wants them to be. I believe it was the Sunday before we got to leave the hospital on Monday. And the doctor came in and she was taking a lot of the tubes and so forth out of me. And she said, "Are you going to curse?" And I said, "No, ma'am, I'm not going to curse. I don't curse." She said, "Well, I do." And I thought, well, what kind of a badge of honor is that? No, I don't curse. And you know why I don't curse? It's because I'm a child of God. And I don't curse. Do you? I don't dress like the world. Do you? Have I ever seen you at Walmart's, at the grocery store, and you were sort of ashamed that I saw you dressed the way that you were? Now let me tell you something. I'm not the judge. If that's the way you want to dress, the person that you need to be concerned about is what the Lord thought about it. What the Lord thought about it. You see, when we become a good Christian, we don't dress like the world. We don't talk like the world. And the world's entertainment is not our entertainment. It's not our entertainment. There is so much wrong with our society today, but it doesn't have to be wrong with us. Why? Because we're a good Christian. We're a good Christian. Do you go where the world goes? There's a lot of opportunities today for you to go places that you have no business going. Why? Because you're a child of God. You're not friends with the world because you understand that friendship with the world is enmity with God. And so you don't want to play that game. And so you have made a change in your life. I am free of the world and dedicated to my Lord because I am not just a Christian. I'm a good Christian. Is that your attitude? I am a good Christian. In Romans 12 and verse 1, one of the best chapters in the New Testament, in regard to Christian living. And if you will read and put Romans 12 into practice in your life, you won't be just a Christian. You'll be a good Christian. He says in verse 1 that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice to our Lord. You see, we're changed. We are different. You remember what Paul said in Titus 2 and verse 14? That he would purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That is, that body as a living sacrifice to Jesus. And you know what? A lot of my brethren today look at that and here's what they say. It's unreasonable. Paul said, it is our reasonable service. It's not unreasonable. It is our reasonable service. Look in verse 10 of that same chapter. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. This is Christianity on display. You look at that verse. Are you kindly affectionate to every brother or sister in this building? Why? With brotherly love. Brotherly love. Let me tell you something. When you become a true child of God, you understand that this is a family. It's a family. And that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And there are going to be times in your life when you're going to have a need. That's when the test of your brethren's Christianity is put on display. I'm going to tell you something, and I hesitate to say what I'm about to say. But I think sometimes that we need a wake-up call. We had an individual that attended services here and quit. And you know why the individual quit? Because she said there's no love in this congregation. She said, these brethren want to come, spend their time, and leave. And not interact again until the next service. She said, that's not what I'm looking for. I want to have friends. I want to have people that I can associate with. She didn't see it in this congregation. And you know what? That broke my heart. Broke my heart. Now, I'm asking you this morning, did she describe you? Do you go out of your way to be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love? Let me tell you something, brethren. We're not playing a game. Your voyage, journey to heaven is all wound up in whether or not you're doing what God expects out of you. And let me tell you, it's not your standard. Oh, I'm doing good. I'm a good Christian. Are you? Are you? It's God's standard. I look at that 10th verse there, and I think about what it's supposed to be, and I ask myself, is it what it is supposed to be? And I'm asking you this morning in as humble a way as I know how, does this describe you? You can tell me all day that you're a Christian. Show me. Show me. You know what God says? God said, talk cheap. You show me what you are. Since I've already broke the ice, I just will to dive off and drown in this morning. You know, after all, I'm a sick man. You can't get on me too bad. Announcement was made this morning. We're having an encouragement program this afternoon. How many of you come? How many of you? Oh, well, I can't get there at 4:30. Well, you know what? If it's not worth having, let's drop it. If it doesn't mean anything to anybody in this congregation other than a few, let's forget it. Let's don't have it. Because it's not just for the 10 people that go back there on Sunday evening, and the rest of you just high-hat it and say, well, it's not for me. You a good Christian? Why have a program that you're not even going to support? Why? You know who's being fooled? Us. We're deceiving ourselves. I told you, laying flat on my back, I thought about a lot of things. That encouragement program is an excellent program, and why it is that everybody can't take 15 minutes to go back there. I don't know. And I'm going to tell you, the next big event in this congregation is July the 12th, Vacation Bible School. You got plenty of advance warning. Now, how many of you will plan a trip, a vacation, or something to where you can't be here? The Vacation Bible School is not just for one or two of us. It's for all of us. All of us. Every one of us who are members of this congregation, that is important to somebody or you would have never started it. Is it important to you? Oh, I wish I could come, but it's always but. I wish I could help teach a class, but. You know what? But's going to keep a lot of people out of heaven. It's going to keep a lot of people out of heaven. Look in Romans 16:1-2. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord, as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she has need of you. For she has been a succorer of many, and of myself also." See what he says? He said, here is a good Christian woman. And there are some excellent Christian men and women in this congregation. But that doesn't guarantee that everybody is. There are people that are doing what they need to do, and there are people that are not. Let's just lay it on the line. Some are, some aren't. But everybody's going to heaven on the coattails of those that are. Ain't going to happen. Is not going to happen. The only way that you can get there is if you are a good Christian. Paying the price of going to heaven. So many Christians never change their attitude, even though they declare to be Christians. Are you faithful? And understand what it means to be faithful. It's not a word. It's a word of action. Doing something. Anybody can come in this building and sit in a chair and call that Christianity. What do you do out of this building? What do you do? Well, you know, I'm just so tied up. Are you tied up for the Lord or tied up for the world? Tied up for yourself. Does it break your finger to call and check on somebody that's sick? Oh, we had good intentions. We were going to, but I broke my finger and I couldn't dial the phone. You got 49 cents to send a card to somebody? Have you got just a minute that you can drop by and visit with somebody? Oh, I'm a Christian. I didn't ask you that. I said, are you a good Christian? Or are you so lackadaisical and the world has got such a hold on you that your Christianity is going in the wrong direction? In 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, Paul said, a man must be found faithful. No ifs, ands, and buts. A man must be found faithful. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, Paul said, I work on myself every day to make sure that I do not condemn myself and become a castaway. Paul said, every day, I don't work on anybody other than me. Do we? Do we? You know what my fear is this morning? Modernism, humanism, and liberalism is gaining on the good Christians. It's gaining. It's gaining. I was thinking, when I was a little boy, how many times that my dad spent nights sitting with people in the hospital, his brethren. I thought about the times that he'd say, now we're going to go over today, and we're going to work for Brother so-and-so, whose health is not good, and we're going to work for him today. And we would. We don't do that anymore, do we? Why? What changed? Did the Bible change? Or did we change? Have we become... And I thought Brother Sean brought this out very well. He said, so many times we're losing sight of what we want this church to be. And it makes us feel good to come in and out, but that's as far as it goes. Just in and out. In and out. It won't rub off on you. If there are those in this building today that are good Christians and you rub shoulders with them, it's not going to rub off on you. You're going to have to do it yourself. Many no longer defend truth, but look for ways to change it to suit themselves. Do you do that? In regard to so many subjects. I remember a few years back, I had the opportunity to hold a meeting at 13th and Main in Blyville. And in the Bible class that morning, I began what the whole tenure of the meeting was about. And that is the statement that's found in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, where Paul said that the church is living in perilous, dangerous times. And it gets worse every day. Brethren, we ought to be scared to death about the indifferent attitude of so many brethren today that it just doesn't mean to them what it ought to. Many of my brethren's Christianity is going in the wrong direction. And that's dangerous. It's dangerous. You know, I thought of what Brother Sean said the other night about 100 years from now. What would this congregation be like? Will it still be here? I don't know. Will it? Now, I understand that we're not going to be here. But will this congregation? And you know what? That's dependent upon you right now. And I'm talking to the elders and the deacons and the members. The decisions that you make right now and the leadership that you give this congregation has a lot to do with whether this congregation will be here 20 years from now, 30 years from now. You ever think about it like that? We cannot drift from God and become callous to our responsibilities and expect that everything will always be all right in this congregation. One of the things that I noticed in our gospel meeting, we didn't have any visitors from any other congregation. And they missed a really good meeting. They missed a really good meeting. They didn't come. And I was talking to the brethren at Northside in Jonesboro. They said they didn't get a meeting notice. They didn't know it. And I wonder, how many other congregations didn't get a meeting notice either? So basically, if we didn't send out meeting notices, we said, Sean, you come preach to just this group of brethren, and we're not going to advise anybody else. Did we do that? I don't know the answer to that. Maybe Northside didn't get one inadvertently. I don't know. But I know we didn't have any visitors. What happened? The Lord's money was spent to have a gospel meeting. We wanted it to be successful. What did we do to make it successful? good Christians. Sometimes brethren lose their backbone for God's ways and commandments. Does this happen to you? In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 5, Paul said, "There are those that have a form of godliness." A form of godliness. They're playing. I remember one time Ed Dye was holding a meeting, and that was the title of his lesson, Playing Church. And it made some of the brethren so mad that he would get up there and say that some just play church. Truth hurts, doesn't it? Truth hurts. And I guarantee you this morning, if your feet are in the aisle, I'm going to step on them. Having a form of godliness. Somewhat religious, but no longer fully committed. You know what Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1? He said, "My son, be strong in the Lord." Are you? You strong in the Lord? Ready to take a stand, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Work of the Lord. You strong in the Lord? In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 4, Paul said, "The time will come when they will turn away their ears from truth." Have you? Have you? I don't know the answer to that. You know, I may be beating my head against the wall this morning. I don't know. But I guarantee you, the things that I've said this morning are things that I think need to be said to sometimes wake us up and help us remember that this is not our church. It is the Lord's church. And the only way that it can be acceptable in His sight is when everybody does what they are supposed to do. And are we doing it? In Titus 2 and verse 1, "Speak thou sound things which become sound doctrine." Sound things. We need to show the world, our families, and our brethren what we are. Do the people that you work with know that you are a Christian? Do they know that you are a good Christian? We tell them every day. Every day. We tell them. By the way we live, where we put our priorities, how we conduct ourselves, and the example that we set before them. I had a man the other day say to me, he said, I really messed up with one of my kids. He said, "Where did I go wrong? Where did I go wrong? How about your example before him? What did you show him about God? What did you show him about serving God?" I had to go to the drugstore yesterday to get some medicine. Seemed like that's all I do. But anyway, man came in there, and he was a very vocal individual. And he was talking to one of the pharmacists. Of course, you could have heard him up on Court Street. But anyway, he said, "I just had a new grandbaby." And he said, "They ordained my son-in-law as a preacher. And you know, I was just sitting there thinking, to have a grandbaby is wonderful. But how happy can you be about somebody being ordained a minister? A minister. So many of our religious friends today don't have a clue as to what it means to serve God. They don't have a clue. They don't know what it means to obey the gospel. They don't know what it means to live a Christian life. They don't know what it means to pay the price to go to heaven. They don't know. They don't know. And what concerns me is more of my brethren. I'm not convinced that they do either. I don't know. Do you? So I'm asking you this morning, are you a good Christian? When you look at how you are conducting yourself today, are you a good Christian? Or are you just a Christian? Just sort of drifting in and out, come in and sit down and get up and leave, and that's it. That's it. You know Bill Miles? How well do you know him? How well do you want to know him? You have any idea what his situation in life is? Ah, I ain't got time for Bill Miles. I got to take care of myself. Do you? I thought he was our brother. He prayed for me last Sunday, and how much I appreciate it. I appreciate Billy's prayer this morning. And you know what? That's what this is all about, brethren. One another. If Greg stumbles and falls on his face and gets in a mess, whose responsibility is it to help him get up? It's ours! It's ours. Oh, I'm going to kick him while he's down. Let him lay there. He got himself into it. He can get himself out of it. What an attitude. What an attitude. You brethren love me. Do you? You love me? Do you think I love you? Do you think that I wanted to say some of the things that I said this morning? If I didn't love you, I wouldn't say it. If you've got a job, do it. And I don't care who I'm talking to. If you've got a job in this congregation, do it. And don't expect somebody else to do it or somebody else to make excuse for you. It won't work. Well, I probably said way too much, but I'm going to quit. Now, Jill told me I was the most hard-headed person that she'd ever seen because I got up and preached this morning. But you know what? I feel so much better right now than when I came into this building. I feel a lot better. And you know why? Because the Lord gave me the strength to do what I love. And you know why I love it? Because it gives me an opportunity to try to save my soul and to try to save yours. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, you're on the outside looking in and you'll never have what we have right now. You'll never have it. Until you obey the gospel. Alright, brethren. You're sitting here today. And I'll back up what Sean said. If there are things that are not right in your life, and you can take care of it in private, please do. Please do. But if there are things that you need to make mention of because they were done in public, please allow us to pray with you and for you. I listened to a song that I dearly love that says, I'm one day nearer home today than I was yesterday. And that's true of each and every one of us. We're one day nearer home today than we were yesterday. I can help you. Please come as we stand and as we sing.